There's a book that's been around for some time now. It's called The 100, a ranking of the most influential persons in history by Michael Hart. Michael Hart is careful to make clear that it's not greatness or goodness that's being ranked, it's influence that's being ranked, influence. Where does Jesus Christ come, I'm sure, is your question. He's not number one. He's not number two. He actually comes in at number three. Interestingly, the Apostle Paul comes in at number six. The first and second rankings belong to Muhammad and Isaac Newton. Now, Michael Hart is neither a Muslim nor a Christian, but he says that according to his observation, Muhammad has far more influence on his followers than Jesus does on Christians. He says that Jesus' ethical teaching is remarkable and original. I'll quote him. "If they were widely followed, I would have no hesitation in placing Jesus first in this book. But the truth is that they're not widely followed. In fact, they're not even generally accepted." Hart gives an example. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a famous Christian preacher, says that the most uniquely Christian command is this one, love your enemies. Well, Hart says about that, most Christians would see this as an ideal which might be realized in some perfect world, but one which is not a reasonable guide to conduct in the actual world we live in. Jesus' most distinctive teaching, therefore, remains an intriguing but basically untried suggestion. Unquote. Well, there's many people I'd love to introduce Michael Hart to, but that's by the by. I think whether or not you agree with Hart, this is a real wake-up call. The perspective of a well-regarded author is that Christians aren't that serious about following God. Jesus' influence is not what Hart would expect it should be. I love the book of James, and the book of James is written exactly about this. How does the Word of God change my life? Practically, daily, completely, to the glory of God. And we're going to spend a few podcasts looking at the book of James. Today's an intro. James is an unusual book in the New Testament. If you compare it to Romans, for instance, it's a bit more like a science textbook, a lot more interesting. But it tells us more about the why the gospel, how does it work? James talks more about the therefore. How do we respond? It's more of a user's manual. It's written to those who walk with God, and this letter tells them more about how to do that. It's immensely popular. It's practical. It's concise. James rarely develops the points he makes at any length. It's got a lot of metaphors and illustrations, and therefore it makes his teaching easy to understand and to remember. The sea, the flower, the rudder, the fire, and so on. On the other hand, few books in the Bible have been so hotly debated, mainly because, and probably started with Martin Luther, some see the book of James as leading us away from grace alone. Martin Luther actually called it a gospel of straw. But it's not ignoring grace. It's actually unpacking faith for us. We know there is grace. This is how we respond to that grace. The gospel is foundational to the whole book. You can't do these things James talks about unless you know God. And if you do know him, you've got to be serious about following him. And this is what it looks like. Well, just a couple more things. Who wrote this book? There are several Jameses mentioned in the New Testament. The only one that really fits this book is James, the brother of Jesus. And that would explain why so much of his teaching sounds like Jesus. Although, interestingly, the book of James talks less about Jesus than any other writer in the New Testament. Only two mentions, but his speech, his writing, it's a lot more like Jesus than any other. If I had to put a big theme on this book, that's not easy because many people have said the book of James is a bit like a string of pearls, all beautiful but not really connected. But I think a good theme would be this, that we are children of the Word, not the world. There are big comparisons drawn with how not to live and how to live, and how the two ways are incompatible. Children of the Word, not the world.